Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today I'm joined on the show by Mike Berger. He's the media coordinator for one of the first 9/11 Truth websites. It's called 9/11truth.org. One of the reasons I'm doing this show today is because I'm often asking people who are new to 9/11 Truth or resistant to it to do their own research. And it isn't always easy to know where to go to get started. The 9/11truth.org website is one source that is helpful for beginners and researchers. So I asked Mike Berger to join me today on the show to discuss 9/11 and the website. Mike Berger, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Cheryl.
So I understand you're the media coordinator with the website 9/11truth.org, which has been around for quite a long time. Maybe you could tell us how you first got interested in 9/11 and how you got involved with the website.
My interest in 9/11 grew from having grown up in New York City and having had family that lived in Lower Manhattan that day. And I, like other people who were watching the news that morning, that was how I became aware of what had happened in New York and tuned in just in time to see the second plane hit on television. And unlike a lot of other people, I did not in any sense have some immediate understanding of what I saw unfolding. I didn't even question it, frankly. It was over a year and a half before I began to question. And the only reason I began to question was when I came across people debating, people having had foreknowledge of the events, which was evident on the financial markets of the world. And having traded options and futures, I was familiar with how the financial markets worked. And so when I saw people debating this on the internet, I thought I would be able to debunk these claims pretty quickly and dismiss them. And I went to my charts for the Chicago Board of Options Exchange and looked at puts and calls, bets that were made on whether or not individual company stocks will go up or down by a specific date, which options expire the third Friday of every month. So the claims that people were making online were that it was clear that large bets were being made that implied foreknowledge because they were made specifically on the airlines that were involved, the corporations that had large numbers of floors leased in the towers, the companies that insured the towers, and the companies that insured the insurance companies that insured the towers. And when I started looking at the puts made on the airlines, I was shocked because the claims that I was reading were right there in the data and there was no way to refute them. I mean, United and American, there were substantially significant bets made that their stocks would plummet. And yet the same wasn't true for other airlines that were not involved. And historically going back, the volume was many 100% larger than it had ever been prior to the attacks with the history of those stocks. And the same pattern held for the insurance companies. And so that's what led me to begin my own questioning and my own reading. Mm. And once I started to look at some of the other claims, this was back in 2003, I couldn't stop because I could not believe that I would be able to go and read mainstream media accounts that were entirely different from what a lot of people perceived and what the general perception was of the public and what the government was telling the public. If you took the time to do a little digging on your own, it was pretty easy to come up with really solid information that contradicted most of what consensus reality was at the time about the attacks, and that truly shocked me.
Yeah, and that's what I try and tell any listeners who are new to this. Don't take my word for it, but go do your own research. It's out there. You just have to get away from CNN, Fox, and New York Times and kind of thing, and you'll see it all out there.
And you bring up another issue, again, which is the the people who have dug in on the other side of this issue, who claim that it's people who question are either un-American, they're professional conspiracy theorists. Well, one of the great arguments they make is, well, gee, you know, the New York Times, don't you think the left liberal media, which they make silly statements such as that the left and the liberals control the media, which is absurd, but even if you grant them that, then the liberal media would have been all over this. And what's really fascinating about that is that actually there are significant stories by mainstream media that did point out the lies, the misleading, and yet, even like you bring up the New York Times, when the final report was issued on the collapse of Building 7, the New York Times reported verbatim the answer to a question about how come there was no testing of the physical evidence for explosive residue, and Shyam Sundar at the press conference, who was one of the lead investigators of the final report on 7, you know, is quoted in the New York Times as saying, well, you know, if there were witnesses who had seen or if explosives had been used, there would be many eyewitnesses who would have reported hearing or seeing explosions. It would be like standing in front of the speakers at a rock concert. And what I thought was fascinating was here the New York Times is quoting this verbatim. And yet, it was the New York Times that sued the city of New York that published the first responders' interviews that the city collected. And the New York Times actually had to sue the city of New York to make these accounts public. And so here's the paper that sued the city to make the accounts public, that they're now publishing a story that claims those same accounts don't exist.
Yeah, somebody's gotten to them for sure. And often when these articles come out in the mainstream media, particularly more back at the beginning, that supported the people who challenged the official story, they only aired them once. They never get picked up again. They kind of go into the memory hole and nobody references them again.
Yeah, very, very true.
Back to the website, that's an interesting history on how you got started. So it was the financial questions and inconsistencies that drew you in. Now, when did you join the 911truth.org website? And maybe you could give us a little history about how the website got started.
Sure. 911truth.org was, I believe, the person to credit with actually putting this together would be David Kubiak. He was the original executive director. And in 2004, the San Francisco group had put together the first international 9/11 conference, which I attended, and it was the first time that basically people who had been writing and publishing, academics, researchers, people who had taken it on themselves to begin looking into this, actually met for the first time anywhere in the world, in the U.S., I should say. It was in San Francisco in 2004, and I think from the confluence of people at that conference, David Kubiak pulled together various allies to create 911truth.org. So it was initially formed and kind of coalesced in 2004. So it's now going, sad enough to say, it's in its 11th year.
And I know when it first started, and for quite a few years there, it was like the place to go for information about 9/11. I think that may have changed somewhat now, but and when did you get involved with the website?
I became affiliated in the end of roughly 2005 and kind of not really in any kind of official capacity till it was right at the time when Charlie Sheen made his first public comments about questioning what he saw on the Alex Jones show. And it had turned out just a few weeks before that. So that was in the spring of 2006. So really in the spring of 2006, is right literally 2 weeks before Charlie Sheen appeared on Alex Jones, I had agreed to do media for 9/11 Truth. 2 weeks later, I was on national television.
Wow.
It was pretty crazy. And actually, it was probably to this day one of the most fair airings of
what station?
9/11 Truth news. Now, unfortunately, of course, the mainstream news didn't cover it. It was Showbiz Tonight covered it. And actually, Showbiz Tonight started inviting multiple people from the movement onto the show. That first night, I got to speak to the producer before the show aired, and just kind of, we had a 15-minute conversation of going back and forth over what I thought were some of the really, really important things to make public. And the producer told me, he said, you know, how come I don't know any of this? And I thought that was kind of interesting. And so believe it or not, yeah, it was Showbiz Tonight that actually opened up this can of worms. And then very quickly, other people from the movement were invited on. And by the next day, they had pretty much already pushed that producer out of the show.
Wow. That's how that works. Yeah. It really is a taboo subject. But tell me, what kind of traffic has the website had over the years?
Well, I mean, going back, there was a period, I would say, from the inception in 2004 until we did our Chicago conference in the summer of 2006, where 911truth.org was one of the large 911 Truth portals. And so we had some incredibly high number of unique visitors and views for years. And to me, 2006 was kind of a major shift in the 9/11 Truth movement, partly as a result of 9/11truth.org had a conference in Chicago, which actually was covered. The New York Times actually sent a reporter to our conference who actually stayed with us for the entire duration of the conference, which was a weekend-long conference.
I didn't know that.
There were hundreds of people from all over the country who came to Chicago to go to this conference, and many of them left Chicago kind of energized and interconnected. And again, it's hard for people to imagine this now, but this was before there was social media. So the web was what was enabling people to communicate and meet each other prior to there being the social media. But there was nothing like this, considering the net was still in its relative infancy. And coming out of Chicago, literally hundreds of grassroots local groups formed around the country and spawned tens of thousands of 9/11 sites. So there was this kind of enormous expansion of the number of people who became 9/11 advocates by 2006. I'd say that was, in one sense, the high watermark of the number of people truly active, thinking that they could get an investigation.
That's interesting, because I think that's when Richard Gage started in 2006. He said he heard David Ray Griffin speaking, and that's when he got involved, and then he created his website, The Architects and Engineers. So that does seem to be a pivotal year for the movement.
Yeah, we had hit a critical number of people, I think, at that point, who had at least become aware that the story they were told was a lie.
Yeah. Now, you said the New York Times had a reporter there. Did they report on the event?
Yes, they did. They wrote a rather long article.
Oh.
I mean, not all necessarily incredibly friendly, but again, we did get a rather sizable article in the New York Times about the conference.
Wow, that's astounding. So the website 911truth.org had a lot of traffic. I mean, it was the place to go back then. So the traffic has tapered off a little bit the farther we get away from the date of 9/11?
Oh, I think it tapered off significantly for a variety of reasons. One is just the profusion of 9/11 sites. If you search 9/11 now, you get millions of results. Well,
right.
A decade ago, that was not the case. There's certainly, and there was a different atmosphere as well. There were always sites and people making claims that, to put generously, probably didn't have any basis in reality. But a decade later now, I would say new people trying to understand what happened would have a very difficult time doing that now because of just the vast amount of information and disinformation.
Right, not knowing where to start. Right.
They don't know. And it's challenging to sort through and make any sense of it, because supposed leaders or leading thinkers that some people will come across don't necessarily all agree on the facts. And so I think one of the failures as a movement that we've, looking back with the hindsight of, you know, a decade of involvement, is we really failed to kind of come to a core agreement on basic facts to promote everywhere at once. And so now I think it's very difficult, I think, for people to make sense of what's out there. I just read an article a couple of weeks ago that was pointing out that 25% of the country was either too young or not born when it happened. So they don't know anything. They
right.
didn't live through it. And it's kind of, for them, it's forgotten. It's an unknown.
Yeah, it's sort of like when I was a kid hearing about World War II or something. It was before I was born, you know. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
So unless you had an interest in history, you weren't going to learn about World War II beyond what maybe you were taught in school. And we don't even want to get into how 9/11 is taught now.
Right. No, that's a disaster. And I think also, as you mentioned, there's so many websites and there's so many, you know, people disagree on different aspects of 9/11. And so that's all out there. And then you have all the disinformation sites and people putting out false information. And so it is very difficult. And that's why your site can be a good site for beginners, particularly to go to get some of the basics down and then expand from there. What sort of information could a newcomer find on your site that might help them get started?
Well, I think not just 911truth.org, but I would also recommend the 9/11 timeline from historycommons.org, which originally was published as a book by Paul Thompson called The Terror Timeline. The Terror Timeline, which is online as the 9/11 timeline, is basically a mainstream media accumulation of articles based on time. On the timeline of events.
Yeah, that is an incredible project and website.
Yes, and it's an amazing resource. And at 911truth.org, what we have done, in addition to original content that we were publishing a decade or so ago, is also some of the leading thinkers in the movement, mainstream media articles that cover almost every aspect of 9/11, from, let's say, the psychology of why people don't want to look at it, or don't want to acknowledge that we really don't know the truth about this event that we now know has entirely reshaped the modern world that we live in. But you can dial into whatever level of specificity on a particular topic or let's call them a participant in the event. So, I mean, one of the things that I've worked hard to try to do is to make it a research tool where anybody should be able to find what they're looking for. If they're looking for something specific, so you can search by tags, and you can actually, for example, go to the website and you click on a particular tag or topic, you're actually able to navigate through that topic chronologically by going next or prior. You can also read the website chronologically and reverse chronologically. You can read it the way the articles came out. So, I mean, I've done a lot of work on that kind of accessibility and different ways for people to access information so you can kind of get to whatever it is you're looking for.
Yeah, that's really great. I know on the site you have a tab at the top for newcomers or beginners, and it walks them through the basic information about 9/11. So I would encourage people to check that out. Again, it's 911truth.org. You have some polls that I think the 911truth.org website group was responsible for, Zogby polls. There was one in 2004, 2006, and 2007. Do you see doing a current one, or is that something that's not on the radar?
You mean in terms of doing a new poll?
Yeah.
No, that's not likely to happen. I mean, we did the first poll of New York City, which at the time, the poll concluded that there were a majority of New York City residents who questioned the government's account and called for a new investigation. We also did the first national Zogby poll as well. Yeah, 9/11 Truth was at the forefront of kind of polling and trying to get the national mood as it relates to the topic of 9/11. But I mean, at this point, we are trying to maintain this as a historic archive for researchers and people who want to learn about this, where you can go to one place and explore all different aspects of the story from different people who've provided content, whether it's mainstream media, academic researchers, 9/11 researchers, but anything that relates to the subject of 9/11. And so now, really, you know, at one point early on in the beginning, I would say even after our conference in 06, 911truth.org functioned as a portal for grassroots people to find each other locally across the country. And it was an activist portal. We were involved in bird-dogging campaigns of political candidates to try to get them on the record about 9/11 Truth. Now, more than anything, it's really a place for people who want information about 9/11 from people who are there to try to tell you to the best of their ability what the evidence is for why we question the government story.
And it's a great resource for that. So you maintain the site, and do you have any future plans for it, or more of what you just said, making it an archive for people to do research?
Yeah, I mean, I think other than maintaining the integrity of what is there, I do add to it as I find really compelling articles. But other than that, I don't see us doing anything further with it than that. Frankly, at this point, because as I've kind of alluded to before, I'm not of the opinion that there's ever going to be a real investigation, not that there's ever going to be a party that would have the authority and integrity to actually investigate it. You get to a point where you do need to acknowledge the wider reality in which we live. And I think that, more than anything, 9/11 truth for anybody who has the courage to look at the evidence, it points to a much broader, longer history of a nation that's ruled by a group other than who we were all raised to believe runs it.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I think that's one of the reasons I wanted to interview you, is because I'm often telling people, if you don't know anything about 9/11, it's your duty really as a citizen to learn about it and what really happened, because it does lead you down the rabbit hole, so to speak, where you learn what's really going on. And we have all these wars, the 9/11 wars in Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, Libya, all of those on the global war on terror is all really justified by 9/11, and the American people have been totally deceived about that. So it is really important for people even today to learn what happened and to know what's going on.
Well, I think even more important, that this is a perfect example, is that if you do not know your history and you don't know anything about this, then somebody like a Donald Trump can make absurd, false statements that mainstream media parrots. And while there has been very, very little pushback on his comments about seeing thousands of Muslims cheer from the Jersey side of the river, what you've not heard a single mainstream media outlet do is to point out the story of urban moving systems and the dancing Israelis who were set up to film and
right,
were celebrating it and who were arrested. And the FBI sent them back to Israel. Nobody was ever charged. So it's interesting because to this day, the events of 9/11 have a direct effect on the world we live in. And yet so many Americans are still blind to the reality that you learn if you start studying this event, that our civil liberties, our foreign policy, our domestic spending priorities, everything has been shifted by this event, by this one event, into which a real investigation has never been made. And so if you don't understand 9/11, you can't possibly understand what has happened to this country and how far the country has moved politically off the scale to the right.
I don't even know if I would call it to the right, but to the deep state, what you said earlier about people not knowing who's really running things.
Absolutely.
You know, and
absolutely.
And,
but to me, the deep state is this kind of reactionary fascist behind-the-scenes lever pullers.
Right, and you're going to get the same thing whether you elect a Republican or a Democrat. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. I mean, we live in a nation that's run by a corporate oligarchy. These are the people who are making the decisions behind the scenes. You can't have followed Occupy or the protests during the 2004 election when Americans who were protesting the Bush administration were locked up in cages in Boston. You know, the disbelief in the Constitution. So in other words, one of the things you would have learned if you had been reading 9/11 Truth, one of the things that we covered is writings about the deep state. We published Peter Dale Scott's material, also work on COG. Again, many Americans don't know about continuity of government and how not only did 9/11 trigger that, but it was renewed multiple times afterwards. In other words, there was no functioning constitutional government.
I believe that that's still in place. Obama has reinstated it every year. In last 1 year, he did it.
Well, I was going to say, you can't find anywhere publicly where it has either been allowed to lapse or it has been renewed under Obama. You can trace it to where it was renewed under Bush, But as far as I've been able to tell, unless you can find it or have found it.
There was one year in the Obama administration, I remember reading that he did it. I think it was New Year's Eve that he renewed it and nobody knew about it because, of course, he did it when everyone was out partying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, like, these are the kinds of topics that for people who are open to learning about facts, the real history, that as you look, it may not be what you would like to see, but that still doesn't change that it's a fact.
Right. And as you said, if you don't get this, if you don't know this, you don't know what's going on in the world. I mean, you are operating under total misinformation. I mean, you just don't know.
You're, in effect, living a collective delusion. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, like, for example, the fear and paranoia now about Muslim immigration, the reality check to any of this is far more Americans are killed in their bathtubs, in their cars, or by random gun violence than all the attempted terrorist attacks on American soil since 1970. And it's just this absurd.
Right. Not to mention that a lot of the domestic terrorist attacks have been orchestrated by the FBI. So, I mean, that's been documented.
Oh, yeah.
You
I
know,
mean,
so,
that,
yeah.
That the FBI informants have been forced into forming cells who were then arrested, who didn't even have the wherewithal to pull off the attacks they were accused of.
Right, many of them mentally unsound, et cetera. Mike, we're almost out of time. Is there anything you want to say to the listeners before we stop today?
To me, I think one of the most important points now in terms of where we are as a nation, I think speak to your friends and relatives who are receptive to factual information. So educating yourself to the best of your ability about what the facts are, not trying to spread theory and rumor. That the bottom line is, we have so much that is now on the public record that is demonstrably false that the government has claimed. Look, for example, I just published an article recently that showed that the Bush administration knew very, very specific information much earlier than they've ever let on before, and that this has come out in the public, even in mainstream media, and yet people act as if they didn't know, they couldn't have done anything to prevent it. You know, this was published by Politico last month, that basically everybody who has looked into this has heard of the August PDB, but what people don't know is that by May of 2001, Kofor Black was saying, quote, it was very evident that we were going to be struck. We were going to be struck hard, and lots of Americans were going to die. George Tenet said there were real plots. Now, for many people, that would be a newsflash that they had very specific info that early on, which then any rational person should lead them to question, how come nobody did anything?
Right.
And why have so many people defended that administration's lack of action on any front when they had specific actionable intel, which mainstream media pundits always point out they didn't have. But we now have over a decade plus of research that demonstrates the exact opposite. They knew names, they knew targets, they knew where they were while they were in the country. They let them into the country. These people didn't sneak in. They came in and had driver's licenses and addresses and phone lines and their actual names. They were not placed on watch lists. I mean,
right.
The more you look at it, the more absurd the story gets. You have to deal with this really kind of strange, warped sense of reality. By looking at the information, you've also got to be prepared to kind of become an outsider. Because you're going to see the world differently than the people who just go along day by day accepting what they're being told is happening around them and why.
Right. You're going to feel like you live in a parallel universe to normal everyday stuff. Yeah.
And that's challenging.
It is. And that's why it's really important to have a group to be associated with who thinks the way you do and has done the research. That's really important to have that support.
It helps.
Yeah, it helps. It
And now that we're in the middle of the holiday season and getting together for dinners and parties with family and friends, if you already haven't had that special outsider feeling because of your 9/11 truth-based worldviews, just bring them up at one of these dinners or parties, and I'm sure you'll see what we're talking about.
Mike, so thank you again for being on the show. I'm sorry we're out of time, but let's do this again soon. And thank you for sharing your knowledge.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Cheryl. It's been my pleasure.
And again, you've just been listening to an interview with Mike Berger, media coordinator for the website 911truth.org. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.